This episode of the Mulvane Art Museum Art of Asia podcast delves into the world of the samurai as we examine the fall of the shogunate and unfold the life of one of Japan's prolific woodblock artists. Today we'll be looking at Yoshu Shikinobu's Daimyo Procession, made at the turn of Japan's Meiji era, a time of political unrest and change. This piece embodies Japan's newfound ideals of showcasing their history to the world and entering a modern age rapidly. It also allows us insight into how ukiyo-e styles transformed during the Meiji era from those of the late
Edo period.
Shikinobu's Daimyo Procession makes a fascinating connection between the feudal world of Japan and the rise of Japan as we know it today.
Now, for the artist's biography, Hishimoto Naoyoshi, better known by his pen name as Yoshu Shikinobu, was a famous painter, printmaker, and woodblock artist in Japan during the Meiji era. Prior to his artistic career, he was recognized for his bravery in the military, where he served under a loyalist of the late Tokugawa Ieyasu. After his military career, he moved to Tokyo and studied painting. He was known for making ukiyo-e prints, depicting a wide range of subjects, primarily Japanese mythology. The battles of his lifetime and women's fashion, as Shikinobu was a prolific Meiji period artist. Many of his subjects were drawn from the political unrest that plagued that time, often painting soldiers in the midst of battle. Although Daimyo Procession does not decide the battle, this scene sets the stage for why the Meiji era was such a tumultuous time, the fall of the Tokugawa shogunate.
The Meiji era was a pivotal time in Japan's history. This period was marked by political unrest and change as the country rapidly industrialized and shifted into westernization, ending the militaristic feudalism of the late Tokugawa shogunate. Next, we'll be discussing what a daimyo procession is and the major historical events that influenced the creation of Shikinobu's Daimyo Procession.
This work depicts a daimyo and his retainers entering the Tokyo Imperial Palace for their annual stay in the military capital Edo under the Sunken Kotai policy. Daimyos were powerful feudal lords who ruled most of Japan, often using samurai to guard their land and power. They worked under the shogun's command, and nominally the emperor. Under the Tokugawa shogunate, political stability and economic growth reigned at the cost of a repressive regime. Under the Sunken Kotai policy, meaning alternate attendance, daimyos were ordered by the shogun to alternate residence for a portion of the year and live in the capital. The central idea behind this command was to strengthen control over the daimyos and suppress any rebellious behavior. When a daimyo was visiting his domain, his wife and heirs were required to stay in Edo, acting as hostages while he was away. Additionally, the expenditures required to maintain a lavish lifestyle in the capital and within their domain, and for the journey to and from Edo, placed heavy financial burdens on the daimyos, leaving no money to fund anti-government activities. Moreover, daimyos competed amongst themselves to showcase their financial and military might by acquiring many samurais under their command and building the most lavish homes in Edo. With all this in mind, it's obvious that this was not a happy journey. However, the daimyo's regular visits and opulent spending contributed to a surge in population in Edo, transforming it from a quiet fishing village in the 16th century to a bustling city of about 1 million by the early 18th century. Now, this is interesting to note as we discuss how this work may be a show of favor for how feudalism had shaped Japan. The first major historical event that led to this work was an important marker of this time period, the end of the Sakoku Edict. It was formed under the Tokugawa shogunate and it stated that trade and foreign relations were heavily restricted, and common Japanese citizens were not allowed to leave the country. However, in 1853, this closed-door policy was dissolved after the United States had forced Japan to open its seaports for trade by visiting the country in warships, carrying weapons and technology that surpassed those of Japan, which leads us to our second major historical event. Facing the threat of colonization by Western powers, Japanese leaders reformed the political landscape by restoring imperial rule, implementing a centralized government, and adopting many Western ideas. Leaders of the Meiji Restoration, as this period came to be known, shifted power away from the shogunate and returned it to the emperor. This meant that the shogun and the daimyos no longer held any military power, and that under this new government, they were now considered government employees, or governors of the domains they used to rule. Now, as you can imagine, this change did not go into effect easily. Some daimyos and the samurais that worked under them organized riots against the imperial loyalists, leading to the Boshin War, also known as the Japanese Civil War. Interestingly, as we mentioned before, Yoshu Chikunobu was serving in the military at the time under Tokugawa loyalists. This leads us to believe that this work may be a statement by Chikunobu speaking against the Meiji regime. Additionally, shortly after opening its ports for trade, the Japanese government took an active interest in the art export market, promoting Japanese arts. So we can also view this work as an effort to share a part of Japanese history to Western audiences, sharing the last traces of feudal traditions in Japan.
Now that we've discussed the history connected to the work, let's turn our attention to the details hidden throughout it. The inscription on the right shows the title of this series and the name of this specific piece. The series title roughly translates to Chiyoda Palace, and the piece's name is Ueno Inari, meaning arriving at Ueno. Another clue that this is depicting an arrival instead of a departure is the posted sign on the far left of the piece that translates to dismount. These writings lead us to believe that the architecture surrounding the figures are in buildings within or near the Tokyo Imperial Palace compound in Ueno, a district in one of Tokyo's wards. And although we can't see it from this angle, Chiyoda Palace is one of the buildings in this compound. Sitting inside the black palanquin towards the end of the procession line sits the daimyo, revealing only a small portion of his face to the window. A majority of the figures surrounding the daimyo are his hired samurais. You can identify the samurais by their characteristic carrying of two swords, showing the concept of daisho, where a samurai pair a short sword with a matching long sword. You might have also noticed that not all the samurais depicted here are wearing the same style of clothing. This difference exhibits the distinct ranks within the samurai class, and with those wearing more plain clothes as a lower rank, and those wearing bright colors and patterns with flared shoulder pieces are of higher rank. Additionally, the three boxes carried at the front of the procession are suspected to be armor boxes, reserved for the daimyo's elite samurais.
This is for the medium. He uses the medium woodblock print, ink, and colors on paper to make sure he had the right angle for doing his artwork. Just like the other artists, he or use similar techniques that Yoshu Chikunobu uses in their artworks, but use the artworks differently. The technique that he uses is drawing and painting with woodblock print to make sure the artists look perfect. He wants to make the artwork militarial so the viewers can understand how it works and what they mean. He also wants to let the viewers know of what these people are doing in his artworks by the historical design of how they fought in the past.
Similar to other ukiyo-e woodblock prints, this work was meant to be seen by everyone, and not just the elite few that could afford fine art. Moreover, this period had a surge of Western visitors seeking to learn more about Japanese culture. Daimyo procession showcases the last traces of feudal traditions in Japan and exemplifies one of the more popular styles of woodblock printing. This piece was also produced after the fall of the Tokugawa shogunate, and so makes use of the lightened restrictions on depictions of Chiyoda Castle to show one of the lavish processions that occurred under the Sanken Kotai policy. This could have also been a piece that was meant to evoke a nostalgia from the audience, as by the late 1880s, Chikunobu's prints were designed to promote traditional values and call back to a time before what his audience saw as the deterioration of Japanese culture by Westernization. The style is reminiscent of Edo-period ukiyo-e prints. It may also be a style of ukiyo-e prints known as nishiki-e, as other prints in the same series are known as such. Nishiki-e is a form of ukiyo-e that is fully colored, as nishiki means brocade, that evolved towards the end of the Edo period. Nishiki is also known as Azuma Nishiki or Edo-i, and became a popular product of Edo due to its inexpensiveness and brightness. In his obituary, Shikinobu is listed as having only one student living at the time of his death, and so the technique of Edo-i has regrettably died with Shikinobu.
Daimyo Procession is one of Yoshu Shikinobu's largest works, and its spread contributes to the grandeur that these processions would have possessed. In a time where prints like this were readily available, the nostalgia it would have evoked would have been like reviewing old parades today. The use of ukiyo-e prints as a mass media in news print did not end until 1904 or 1905, during the Russo-Japanese War, when ukiyo-e was replaced by photography. In addition, this availability would have made it very easy for foreigners to learn of Japan and its history after the country was opened, as Nishiki-style prints were affordable even with children's pocket money. This would have made it very easy for travelers to purchase and bring home print collections like the Daimyo Procession, and as Shikinobu was trying to show Japanese culture prior to Western influence, would have given foreigners a glimpse into a time none of them would have ever experienced or known. Daimyo Procession both evoked nostalgia for Japanese citizens and offered a beautiful interpretation of history for foreigners and those curious about Japan's past.
Thanks for listening to this Art of Asia podcast.